Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 320, part 1, Stand. Today is Thanksgiving weekend, Friday, November 22nd, 2013. Thankful for the podcast? I am.
Must be some kind of way out of here. Say the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine. Plowman, dig my earth.
Is entitled Stand. You know, in our world today, people are always asking, what's the good word? What's happening? What's new with you? And you kind of listen to that, not to get critical or cynical. But anyway, many times I really think we could care less about what's happening in a person's life or what's new in a person's life. I think we could really care less. And it's a It's habitual with us. It's like talking about the weather. It's sort of a self-conscious cover-up. We don't know what else to say to one another. We become strangers. It's like we're all on an elevator and we're all embarrassed to be there. Know that feeling of getting on an elevator? What do you do with yourself? And you're closed in and nobody's talking and everybody's trying to look up or down or sideways. And it's sort of a hiding from one another. And even while we sit here today, are you listening on the radio or to this tape? Kind of cover up with this how's the weather conversation. This is openers, don't you see? And we really haven't fallen in love with one another. I think if we were to start to pray for one another, that's like if a brother has a need or he starts a new business. Well, how's the new business going? We really don't care until we pray for that person. Until we put ourselves in their business and we say, now God, how would that be for me to be in that business? And the Lord will show you. And then we can honestly say when we meet the person, you know, I'm praying for that. And we get excited about what the person is really doing. But you'll never get involved with one another until you start to pray for one another. Until you make that contact with God. And when you make that contact with God, a whole lot of things change. You aren't self-conscious when you're around people. You can say in your own heart, well, I prayed for that person. I believe God to take him out of that situation without judging. Without the finger pointing. We just have that God connection. Know how we need that God connection so we can walk up and honestly look in one another's eyes. Without that terrible fear and that self-consciousness. You know what I'm talking about. Or am I all alone in this? Am I sort of crazy? No, I don't think so. So we can honestly say, I care. I'm going to give you a word today. And oh, there are so many people in this day and age that want to give people a word. The word ministries. Well, I'll give you a word. And I have a word for you. Hey, you want a word? The word is right here in the Word of God. You don't have to run to someone that can give you a word. Have you got a word for me? Yeah. Get busy. Pray and fast. Get down on your hands and knees and start working for God. That's my word. I'll give you one today, though. A watchword. A warning word. A needed word. Stand fast. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Hallelujah. According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now that even means you and me. And then 4:1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for. Isn't that a good word? Oh, I like that. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. Oh, wow. My joy and my crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Isn't that personal? Doesn't that just grab you? If you really hear it, if we crawl out of our self-conscious little bodies, you listening on the radio or to this tape, listen to it again. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, how descriptive, and long for my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Isn't that a good word? Isn't that a word we should have for everyone? My dearly beloved? Wow. And I think this, that every word of God can be put to a good and practical use. You see, that's what's wrong. We're not taking the Word of God and putting it to work. And without working the Word out that's put into you, it won't work. We can use it as a help, not only as a help, but a guide. A way, if you will, to fulfill a need. Can't you see that, you listening on the radio to this tape? You hear today. Just like the different trees we see out there. And they had different seeds that started them. And so it is with each truth, the seed of God's Word, planted in our heart. Now maybe today a seed will grab you and go into your heart. You listening on the radio, are you here today? If you aren't saved, I hope that that gospel message seed will not only reach your heart, but pierce your heart. And then you know it's up to God. Say amen, somebody. But it's that practical virtue, not the how are yous, the phoniness, not that how you doing, but how can I help you? What can I do for you? Can we ask that? What can I do for you, brother? This week, and I ministered it on Friday night, a guy came in and he says, I take an 8D shoe. And I thought, oops, that's my size. And he says, I have these shoes on, they're 6 1/2, and he looked like some kind of a stork walking around. And these are the only ones I have. I have no shoes. Now I had these shoes that the kids bought me. They go, Reeboks. And Debbie goes, oh! And I said, well, we'll have some shoes in tomorrow. And I thought, well, I'll go home and I got a new pair of shoes. I'll give them another pair. They're not Reeboks, but they're real nice shoes, you know. So I said, come back tomorrow. And right after he left, I thought, now what good are those Reeboppy dowsers doing in my office? So he came back and he was standing there like a stork again outside over here by the thing out here again. And finally, God reached my heart. Now, I'm a giving person, but I had the excuse, well, these were given to me for my birthday. You just can't give that stuff away. Well, then the argument came, yeah, they're yours to give away. They were given to you freely, so freely give them away. You better believe I ran in and got them Reeboks. They call them Reeboks, or what are they? You don't know? Well, they're supposed to be an expensive kind of shoe of some kind. Now, this guy went walking out of there, man. He was a, huh? That guy was loosed. But greater than him being loosed, I was loosed. What can I do for you today? And so Paul uses the word, therefore, over and over and over again. Meaning, of course, that he has drawn some conclusions from the divine truth. Therefore. Now, you've read the word, therefore. Put it to work. You know God has planted you on the north side. Therefore, do the work whereon you were called to. Therefore, put it out there. What can I do for you? Therefore, you know, my conclusion about the Word in these years of ministry that I've had, and it's some 15 or 16 years now, more like 50, because it's been so powerful and so in and so going all the time. I've come to conclusions, therefores, about the Word. And it is this. That it is, if it is not put to some practical use, it's of no use. None. You might as well stayed an honest sinner. An honest, unrepentant sinner. That would be more honest, wouldn't it? I wonder how God views that. We view people out there and they're into alcohol and they're into their drugs and they're into the whatever. And all the things that we would do, have done. And he views them, but they're honest. Because, see, we have the word, but we have no therefores to go with it. You've been to college, therefore go out and get a job. I told my kids that. I said, you know, when you're 18, skedaddle. Therefore, that's a part of my life that's over, therefore. Although I must admit, I was pretty happy when all four of them came home for a season. When the season was over, I was glad they left. Well, there's all kinds of therefores like that. But see, it's really being yourself and being honest, isn't it? Taking the Word of God and putting it to some practical use. Well, as for an example, you take an apple seed and you plant that. What does it produce? Or oak seeds. Or like these maples we got out here. You must plant, the Word says, you must plant the Word in your heart so that it can be worked out and worked through, and by the way, against the flesh. We don't want to do it. When the Word of God is in us, the hope of glory, it's got to be worked out. It's just like that seed coming up through the ground. It has a hard time coming up. It's got to be watered. It's got to have light. It's got to have a promise. But it's against our flesh. We don't want to do it. Now, many times people ask me, and I all day yesterday, people were asking me, they said, when do you have time to get your message ready? Well, I says, I'm getting my message together right now in a practical way. Because you see, it would do me no good to go home and leave all this, the practical putting to use of the Word of God, and go home and sit on my duff. All right, paraphrased. Go home and sit down on my backside, in case you didn't know what duff was. And just sit there and study and study and study and never do anything practical. Just say, oh, well, you'll have to excuse me. I have to go get now. If there is such a thing as studying. There is such a thing as getting your message ready. But a message that hasn't been put to some practical use, what use is it? Really? Huh? What good is it if you don't put it to use? Wouldn't you feel like a phony? Wouldn't you feel like, therefore? Don't you feel that? Don't you feel like, therefore? You came down last night, right? And you had your two little ones with you, and I thought, well, now we don't have... I'm scared of them little ones being in here and so on like that because they could get burned and it isn't my policy and all this and blah, 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 blah. And I got stopped right in the middle of my tracks. The man is here, therefore put him to work. Did you go to work? Mm-hmm. Then I had a gal come in and she was just sort of sightseeing. And she says, well, golly, what's going on and stuff? I mean, you know, and sort of just chancing around. She says, well, I heard on KTIS that you were doing something down here, and I thought I would get involved. Well, the way she was dressed, I said, well, it felt like saying, this is not a fashion show. We're going to, you know, Or has it? Oh, okay. And the Lord spoke to me. Therefore, put her to work. Well, she was just slipping and sliding around on these shoes in the kitchen in there. Then I left for a minute and I came back and she was all ready to go. Well, she said, Jim was standing there and she says, well, there's nothing left to do. I guess I'll go. Who said that? And I says, take off your coat, put your keys in the pocket, and come on over here. You came down to work. Therefore, let's go to work. Right? Shouldn't we tell one another? You've read the Word of God. You've studied the Word of God. Therefore, put it to work. Some practical good use. You know what the Word of God says about praying for your leaders? Therefore, pray for them. And right now, they're down on your president. Right? Everybody's deserting. Now, I'm not saying a person is right or wrong, and it's not mine to judge. But it seems like all of the rats are jumping off of the ship. And we have a Russian leader that wants to come over. But see, we don't want to give credit for anything, any kind of peace things or anything. Oh, let's just totally leave this guy out in left field. Well, what's he going to do for 18 months? Therefore, pray for your leaders. Whether that you agree with every political point or not, pray for them. Why? The Word of God says so. It says, judge not one another, therefore don't do it. And you got all this scam going on TV and this ministry tearing down this one and that one. Bible says, study to keep your mouth shut, paraphrase, to be silent. Are you hearing this? The Lord has risen, therefore we shall live. Isn't that a good word? Isn't that a good seed? Doesn't say, therefore you might live. Therefore, if you keep all these regulations, the do's and don'ts, and wills and won'ts, and shan'ts and shouldn'ts, you shall live. It says, therefore, you will live. Because he lives, you live also. Plant that in your heart. But the legalist says, well, wait a minute now. Do you speak in tongues? Are you baptized in the Holy Ghost? Are those good things? Of course. But are you saved by that? Are you saved by a certain way you were baptized? No, you were saved by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. What you say, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you're saved. And the things that come after that are proof of that. Therefore, you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. Therefore, it's no longer you that lives. It's Christ in you. He has risen. Therefore, you live because you were raised from the dead, so to speak. You were dead, the Bible says, and now you are alive. And the life that you live by faith. Whew. Why not try that hybrid seed out today? He lives, therefore I live also. That's a seed, isn't it? Isn't that a seed of hope? And oh, how the world right now needs a hope. Now, are we looking for his coming? And you know his coming. And he shall. It says, fashion a new body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the image, the body of his glory. Therefore, let us stand fast in the position which will secure us this great honor. So what do you have to do once you receive this seed of truth? Stand in it. Just like that oak tree, stand there. Just like that maple tree, stand there. Someone says, you're not an oak tree. Oh, yes, I am. I'm standing on it. I started from a little seed, and this is what I am, folks. I received a Jesus Christ seed, and this is what I am, folks. I'm being made over into His image. Oh, I'm kind of slow popping out a limb here and there. There's a lot of pruning going on in my life here and there. But therefore, the Word of God says that He lives, I live also. Stand on that. Why not? How many want to stand on that one? Well, maybe someone will come along and say, are you still saved? Are you still an oak tree? Are you still born again? How can you get unborn again? You say that to your baby? He has dirty diapers, you're not born. Out he goes. Hey, hold on to your positions. Occupy until His coming. Don't abandon the ship. Guard the wall. Protect the faith. Keep your posts. Yeah, keep your post until our captain of the guard releases you. Pastor, do you like working on the north side? Sometimes. Why do you do it? Well, I've said it before, I'll say it again. The Bible says, I will make you willing in the day of my power. I don't always want to, but I've been made willing. And so when I want to do something else and I go out there, I'm not willing to do that. I've been made willing to do this. What can you do once you're made willing? Maybe people don't like what you're doing. They'll say, "Oh, why are you wasting your life? I mean, oh, why are you doing? You've been made willing." Huh? Well, what can you tell people? I've been made this way. I can't get unmade. Or maybe sometimes you'd like to be a maple tree instead of an oak tree and bend a little bit, or a willow tree so you could sort of just willow around, you know. But you're not made that way. Because you know, God made you in your mother's womb. Do you know how precious each soul is? Think about it. Think about it, therefore. Huh? Now they're even talking about, well, when you get a certain age, you know. If you don't want to live, let's say you're 60 and you got a heart problem, you have this wrong, and you got arthritis or something, you just feel miserable. And nobody's around you, and you're sitting above in this little apartment above the dime store there, you know, and old gray curtains and everything, and a little teeny hot plate up there. Now, I hope you're listening on the radio, you people that live like that. And you got this little hot plate up there, and they're going to give you a thing. Do you want to live? I saw on TV. You want to live? You have the right to die, you know. How many in here would have died even when you were kids and you had to get up in front of the class? Oh, I wish I was dead. You would have signed that. Wouldn't you? You want to sign this before you go up in front of the class? It's painless. You just walk into this little chamber and drop a pellet in there and you're done. Yeah, I'll sign it. Anything. I don't, huh? Boy, I'll tell you, therefore, these people need to be told. You listening on the radio, I don't care if you blew a fuse on account of your hot plate. You are worth something, therefore, put what you have left of your life to work. Isn't everybody worth something? Isn't the worst sinner worth... Wasn't Hitler worth something? Well, nobody wants to be like him. Then he was worth something, wasn't he? We all have a little bit of the Hitler in us. Well, not me. Did you ever wish somebody dead? Of course you have. Did you ever say to yourself, I wish I was never born? Now, keep your post until the captain of the guard releases you. And don't worry, you will receive your reward. My mother used to tell me, when I get you home, you're going to get yours. That was my reward for doing wrong. Did that stop me from doing wrong? No, no, no. You're going to get yours when you get home. You'll get your just desserts, she used to say. And you know what? Then I would just be all a meaner because I knew I was going to get it anyway. Might as well make it worth my while. I was such a high energy person. Even as a kid, you know what I mean? Just high energy, man. I mean, it just felt like ripping the desk right up out of the floor. Ooh, I want to do something. You know, every time a truck would go by, oh, I wonder what that truck, sit down! Huh? Now, when a kid has high energy, they call them, they give them pills. The kid's got too much energy for the teacher. Yeah, see, you got a lot of times, not saying all teachers, but a lot of them are deadbeats. Let's face it, we're in an age of deadbeats. You're a teacher, therefore teach. You're a mission pastor, therefore missionate. Well, I don't know if that's a word, but it's fit in there. Well, shouldn't you? No, the Bible says he will repay all who are loyal. What are you going to invest in? Why not invest in people? Jesus did. Do you think that would be a good idea to invest in people? Give your life for people? You're going to invest in yourself? It's a poor investment. Let's see, what can I get for me? You remember that song years ago? Oh, Daddy, I want a diamond ring, a fur coat, and everything. Oh, Daddy, huh? Well, you didn't like that on the radio, huh? It didn't sound religious enough to you. Well, I don't care what it sounded like. That's the way I've been made. Do you think that would be a wise investment, I said, to invest in people? Your glorious resurrection, people, isn't that reward enough? You don't need anything more. The promise of your resurrected life, isn't that enough? Or do we want to be popular? Oh, it's great when we're popular, isn't it? Oh, hi. Isn't he or she the life of the party? When they come in, everything lights up. Hey, it's hard to be the life of the party all the time. Sometimes you just don't feel like it. Huh? Are you hearing this today? Are you afraid you'll lose your reputation? Wouldn't that be awful to lose your rep? I could care less about my reputation. Jesus, it said, had no reputation. No, he had it one day, and the next day he was the devil, the Bible says. Or the next day he was a whoremonger, or a drunk, wine bibber. He had the wino spirit, they would say in the modern day demonology teachings. Yes, that's that old wino spirit. No, that's that flesh spirit calling out for liquor. That's what it is. You don't need any help. The flesh doesn't need help from demons. Demons learn from the flesh. They blame everything on a demon. Oh, that's a demon to this, the demon to that. No, that's you. And the miracle what is that Jesus came to save us all. You know why? Because you are so wonderful to him. Wow, you don't know how great you really are. And hidden in Christ in God. And so you give up your position over and over, and not to get prideful over it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your soul, your spirit. I think we should narrow down our wide gospel so that it would at least include the cross, the resurrection, the blood, Jesus. We've left the main ingredient. No, because of fear? I think so. Because that we don't want to acknowledge things? This Friday I said, you know, the Pharisees and the scribes, when Jesus spoke to them, at first they wouldn't see. It's like you take your kid to his room, you say, can you see that mask? And he stands there. Don't want to see it, so you screw his head around. Now do you see it? Yes. This is how your Heavenly Father has to deal with us. Now do you see it? Now you admit it's a mess? They won't acknowledge it. And then when they finally make him acknowledge it by a good whooping, then he says, oh, it doesn't matter anyway. I got a whooping. Who cares? No, we need to tell people to stand fast now. See, not only see, but acknowledge. Not only acknowledge, but get into the therefores. Therefore make your room. Therefore preach the gospel. Therefore feed the poor. Therefore put the word to work. No, we need to tell one another, stand fast. Don't worry about the crash. Our God is greater than Wall Street, the Wheeling Wall. Don't turn from your faith. You elderly people out there now are talking about making cuts, Medicare cuts, and this cut and that cut and so on like that. Well, you know, you got too much anyway, right? I'd never get into that. You know what you got? You got the Lord Jesus Christ is what you got. And you have a promise that you're going to be in heaven. Isn't that enough? I think it is. You live a little bit and then you start to count the things that are really important. And the best investment we can have, well, government if you're listening, okay. Preachers if you're listening, okay. Congregations, if you're listening, okay. What's the best investment we have? People. Why is it that kids come out of high school and can't read? And then when they get too hyper, we tell them, the kid's too hyper, give him some slug pills. Knock him out. Knock that kid. Sit. Give him a knockout pill. It's true, isn't it? Therefore, you have been to college and so on. Therefore, you want to be a teacher? Therefore, teach. You want to be a preacher? Therefore, preach. But put your money where your mouth is. Practice. Be practical about the Word of God. Therefore, put it to work. Don't turn into a traitor, folks. Don't turn into a traitor against the Lord. There Therefore, love one another. Therefore, feed one another. Stand on that word. How about standing on that one? Well, he also says, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ, the day of his coming. Doesn't the Bible say such a beautiful thing? You are hidden in Christ in God. Do you think that some self-appointed legalist can find your seed and pluck it from the Father's hand? No way. How about standing on that? How about standing on the firm conviction . Haven't we already received our victory in the faith? How about standing in what is yours? Don't let somebody guilt you out and take it away from you. Don't give it up. Serve your victory by standing fast in it. Hasn't Jesus already given you the victory? Why not stand in a victory? Maybe you have the victory over booze, you listening out there. Well, stand in it. Do you have the victory over gossip? Then stand in it. Do you have the victory over causing division? Then stand in that. Keep yourself, in other words, in love with God. Stand fast. Shouldn't we write a song like that, Sue? Stand fast, stand fast. I heard a little tune that was on the jukebox. I kind of went, da, 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 da. It was kind of a cute little tune. And the thought came to me, stand fast. Don't run away, don't run away, stand fast, huh? That'd be a good one. Maybe you put a few horns in there, four or five guys blowing to the side. Toot, 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 toot. Stand fast, toot, toot, stand fast, toot, toot, huh? Don could do a wanger on his guitar, huh? You could get up there with that little, what is that thing again? Is that a xylophone? Synthesizer, that's a tongue twister, isn't it? Almost makes you want to lisp. But stand fast, don't run away, stand fast, huh? Think about that one. You get the tune together and I'll get the words together. Oh, don't worry, on the radio, it'll be scriptural. Get your pen and pencil, I'll start writing your letter, licking a stamp. I had to beat him to the punch that time.
There you have it. That was episode 320. That was part one to stand. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. In other words, don't shop until you drop. You've got to be able to hear Pastor Paul's conclusion on Sunday. Also, I found some vinyl from my high school days. I have a special song for you. Turn up the volume, and God bless you.
One that's done all the things you set out to do. Stand.
There's a cross for you to bear.
Things to go through if you're going anywhere.
Things you want are real.
You have you to complete, and there is no deal. Stand. as a permanent priest in your right and wrong stand.
There's a midget standing tall,
and the giant beside him about to fall.
Crawl.
And they know what you're saying makes sense at all.